And now, with a courtly bow, a deferential scrape and an elegant doff, the BBC presents its reconstruction of the reigns of renowned royal families, and not at all a load of old monarchs. Crowned Huds. Written by Michael Dines and starring Roy Hudd, June Whitfield, Chris Emmett and John Glover. This episode concerning Queen Victoria, entitled VR in Charge, or
The Sign of the V, an improving novel by Chastity Lacklust Trollope Spinster. Volume 1, in which our hero, Mr. Egbert Hall, would-be popular entertainer, receives intimations of the year of 1860, shall presently discover him performing on a bigger stage.
Right, now listen, here's a funny thing. Now, here is a funny thing, ladies and gentlemen. Stop me if you've heard this one. Young widow, admiring her military escort's erect bearing. To be honest, Captain, this wasn't quite what I expected when I was told you had a fancy for an evening of Dickens. Her proud Hector polishing his gleaming helmet. Indubitably, madam, but fortunately I've had many years' practice with the regular services. All right, suit yourselves. It's the last joke I nicked from Punch. Now then, who wants to see little cheeky Charlie, the Cheapside costermonger?
No one.
Oh, come on, son, out of the trunk. There we go. A gutter of ground gear and a goshen of grit and gutter for the ginkire, please. No? All right. I knew I should have gone for the green fluffy duck instead. Never mind, right. Here, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of magic, right? Behold, from my right nostril I produce a soup tureen and an occasional table. Hey! And from my left ear, two antimacassars and a small ottoman, right? And you'll never believe when I keep my whatnot. Hello, as I pluck from the air, oh, a cabbage. Ow, a turnip. Ooh, a potato shaped like Esther Rand. Oh, oh. Oh, I'd be right in the orchestra stalls there.
Here you are, Egbert, love. Another 4 quarts of my old tuppence farthing. Splashing out, aren't you?
Oh, we'll be after another 4 quarts, I promise you that.
Don't tell me you've just been on stage.
Ah, my loyal fans have been in eight, chattering excitedly over deviled oysters and a glass of mulled Horlicks.
No, you've got a new turnip-shaped bruise on your left cheek. Someone was looking for you, though. Big brown eyes, ringlets, tight-fitted velvet jacket.
Well, it's either Little Nell or my first groupie.
Oi, matzo balls and gefilte fish. You should be so lucky. Let me introduce myself, Mr. Hall. Benjamin Disraeli at your service, my dear. Here, I caught your act tonight.
I caught typhoid once, but at least I knew that'd get better. Same again, love. Nice glass of our special porter. Extra thick and slow-moving.
There's a rail privatisation joke in there somewhere, I swear. Benjamin Disraeli. You're dizzy.
Well, you know what those House of Commons bars are like. As I said, I was watching you tonight and something struck me.
Oh, probably a bag of sprouts. Their aim's not what it used to be, you know.
Come close. You've heard of Prince Albert?
The beloved husband of our Queen, Victoria. God bless her.
Storm, you're Albert's exact double. His spitting image. Now, don't smile. It's no laughing matter.
I know. I've seen spitting image as well.
Now, Mr. Hall, Egbert, my dear.
Thank you, my darling.
You are in the fortunate position of being able to do the Empire a singular service. And the Queen, God bless her. I want you to stand in for Prince Albert.
Oh, blimey. Don't tell me he's been nicked by the Peelers again for hanging around Hyde Park, has he? Giving another great exhibition.
No. Stop. Worse than that, even as I speak, he languishes in durance vile, incarcerated in a tiny chamber, creaking chains, running water, a bare wooden seat, and no room to stretch.
He's been captured by Britain's enemies, some knavish agent of a foreign power.
If only, Schnodder, he's got himself locked in the loo at Windsor Castle. Well, just him and an industrial-sized package of Dr. Bronco's extra-scratchy carbolic hygienic parchment. Look, the papers mustn't get wind of this.
Yeah. Or anyone else, I should think. Imagine the headlines, eh? Kraut consort caught in Crapper's closet.
Well, that would just be the Times, right? All right. What do you want me to do, then?
The Queen is at Balmoral. She's organising a hunting party for a visiting German statesman, Herr Otto von Bismarck.
Well, I knew we don't get on with the Germans, but hunting them, that's not right, is it?
Oh, hey, the boys are mensch. Listen, I want you to join the party posing as Albert and keep an eye on Bismarck. Since he's arrived, there's been mysterious explosions at printing works. Then there's this national red ink shortage. We think he's plotting against the Empire already.
The dastard!
Yes, not a word for dyslexics, that. But be careful. No one must suspect. Not even the Queen. God bless her. You leave immediately. Here's some of Prince Albert's clothes. Sorry about the parcel, I couldn't find any red sealing wax anywhere. I'll write with further instructions. Just one last thing. That turnip-shaped bruise on your left cheek.
Well, I'll cover it with some theatrical makeup.
No, that's not the problem. Prince Albert's turnip-shaped bruise is on the other cheek.
Oh.
Just a second.
Oh.
That's better.
Thank you.
Volume 2, in which our hero, having assumed the personage of a prince of the blood, travels to Balmoral and there arrives in the midst of a most interesting discussion between her most noble majesty and her faithful servant of the Caledonian persuasion, Mr. John Brown.
Mr. Brown, we are not amused.
Oh, how aren't enough us yourself, Victoria woman. Is it no a fine, damp day with the wind gnawing at your flesh? The icy cold freezing the very marrow of your bones? The thick frost covering the windows? If I just scrape some off, fae as a thought, it looks nae warmer outdoors. Will you gaze on it, woman? Everywhere it's gloom, gloom, aye, gloom, gloom, gloom. But later, clearing from the west with above average temperatures this time of the year. Makes you glad to be alive, if being glad were not a sin, you can.
We were not referring to the delights of Balmoral, Mr. Brown, but to your dress.
Dress, woman? Haven't I told you muckle times this is the traditional garb of the Highlander? A kilt.
Is it also traditional to wear it 5 inches above the knee? Slashed to the waist. And as for your hose...
Get away, you'll no be seeing that this cold weather. Have you forgotten where I were hunting the new? Shall I be fetching yon great German Jesse?
That is no way to speak of Herr Bismarck. Disagreeable as he may be, he is still a fellow countryman of our own beloved Albert.
Right, here goes, deep breath. I say. What's the difference between the captain of the overnight ferry and Prince Eddie? One sails with sleepers, and the other sleeps with... Oh, dear, wrong act. Hello, darling. I'm home.
Albert, our dearest. But why are you kissing Mr. Brown?
Oh, sorry, I just went for the one with the smaller moustache. Now... Don't stand up, Victoria, old girl. Oh, I see you are, I'm sorry.
Our Adonis, we had almost forgot how handsome you are, had failed to recall how athletically built, nobly proportioned your physique. It had slipped our mind how your strong but gentle nature shines through every aspect of your perfectly featured face.
And you still can't remember where you put your glasses, eh? I tell you, Vicky, old girl, had a bally appalling train journey down. Sooner those confounded blighters get off their backsides and pull their blasted fingers out.
Albert, dear, have you been taking elocution lessons?
What?
Well, our time apart seems to have done the most interesting things to your German accent. You sound just like...
A penniless foreigner that's married our queen, you can. Will we be aware hunting the new if I can just find that great cabbage-eating German...
Gott in Himmel und Donnerwitten. But what is this delay? I'm understanding there are the dear stalking goings, in store they have myself been preparing.
Putting beach towels on all the best stags, eh? I see. Herr Bismarck, I presume.
Herr Prince Albert. Guten Tag, mein deutscher Kamerad. Wie steht das Ring auf mein menschlich Glied?
Yes, healing up very nicely, thanks. And yours?
Mr. Mr. Bismarck, one does feel that while one is a guest in one's country, one might speak one's English. Doesn't one agree?
Ah, you naturalized Britishers, so full of the number ones.
Better than being a blasted nation of number twos, isn't it? Another thing, Bismarck, we don't usually go hunting in helmets, you know, especially with a spike on the top.
Ah, main problem. Bought with me good quality German Deerstalker Z, also mid the spike. All mine hats have on top the point.
Yeah, to match your blasted head, I suppose.
Och, whisht, mon. Your girl in like twa bairns harpling away afraid of showdy body.
Subtitles are available on Maxi Packs. Page 34.
Let us be off to the braes and the glens. I've a mind to be tramping through the lucky heather of the new.
One has often wondered, Mr. Brown, we are not bemused, but just which heather do you Scotchmen feel is lucky?
Well, woman, that all depends, but when a laddie is walking through it in a kilt like mine...
Yes?
Anything waist high feels lucky enough.
Very good shooting, Herr Bismarck. Another three of those and you'll win a teddy bear. Now, Brown.
Aye?
Brown, what have we bagged so far?
10 brace of grouse, 8 brace of pheasant, 2 brace of Highland terriers, 5 roe deer, 9 fallow deer, and this muckle strange big wiry beastie.
Yes, those supermarket trolleys get everywhere, don't they? Well, not bad for the first 5 minutes. Ah! Look at that noble creature. Ears cocked, nostrils flaring, sunlight dappling the magnificent pelt. If I just crawl through these leaves and take aim...
And shall you be having yon field mouse stuffed and mounted?
Certainly, Brown. You know, one day, many of these species will be endangered. Well, at least they will be if I've got anything to do with it, I promise you. Deuce it, Otto. We haven't seen any red deer yet.
Yon Bismarck's had all of them, you can. And yon red squirrels. I'll aware and ask his guides what they know. Will you be helping me examine Bismarck's gillies?
Not without rubber gloves, no. I'll see what he's bally up to. Hey, Bismarck! Good shooting, what? Oh, bad luck. Winged it. Tricky blighters, those butterflies, you know. Red Admiral, wasn't it?
Enough of the pretense, my liebling. I have yesterday sabotaged the factory where they make the red dye, drunk all those bottles of red label whiskey. My God, this morning I felt like I was wearing the spike inside my nightcap. You will not regret agreeing to do your duty as a German. My plan is working. By the end of the week, das British Empire will be kaput. Sooner, if it wasn't for half-day Wednesday.
Steady on, Bismarck. That's not funny.
Of course it's not, Dummkopf. It's plot exposition.
Oh.
I will slip away to London after das banquet tonight and prepare our victory.
You mean to destroy the Empire after the banquet? Herr Bismarck, I beg of you, reconsider.
Was ist das, Albert? You are the cold feet getting? You want the Empire to save?
No, but can't you change your plans? Go before dinner?
Why?
Well, it's just that field mouse I shot. I don't think there'll be enough to go round, quite frankly, boy.
Volume 3, in which our hero, after dressing for dinner and being the recipient of some most illuminating epistolary communications, attends the banquet and discovers the nature of the threat while engaging in some traditional post-prandial diversions.
Suspicious somebody's been going through my clothes. That's no fun if I'm not in them. This is the bit I've been dreading. Royal state banquet. If I can fool them all tonight. My nerves, my whole stomach feels so... Ah, good. That's the wing collar around my neck now. Why do they use so much starch? Now, collar stud. No, it's going under the bed. Which is more than I'll be doing tonight. Now, I can't think how I let Disraeli talk me into this and why Albert's mixed up with Bismarck. I still don't know what's going on.
letter, Your Highness, arrived in the 6 o'clock post.
Oh, thank you, Portillo. Now, let's see. It's from Disraeli. Dear Mr. Hall, your esteemed favour of even date to hand, and I beg to thank your good self for same. And further
abase my humble self to appraise you of developments regarding the certain matter we discussed the 27th ult. Bismarck is plotting destruction of Empire Proximo. Maybe stealing red chemicals for some secret weapon. Check it out. Missing your warm embrace, Benjamin.
Secret weapon. I'll have to sit down and think through what's happened.
10 past 6 post, Highness.
P.S. No time for that. Hurry up, your dinner's getting cold. S-W-A-L-K, Benji Bottoms.
Dear, and his handwriting's getting wobblier as well, yes. The banquet, I'm forgotten. Whose lead shall I follow for etiquette? Which fork do I use?
6:15 post, Highness.
P.P.S. It's easy. Remember the rabbi's advice and take it from the top. I'm upstairs waiting. Your ever-loving kosher kitten, Dizzy Dimple Bitch.
Albert, dearest, shall you have another 2 dozen quail's eggs? A second gallon of soup? Perhaps an extra 100 weight of pate. We don't want to offend cook.
I can't think why you employed Mrs. Beaton in the first place. What's the next course?
Delicious roast turkey. 2 each. Ooh. Although, regrettably, no cranberry sauce. Just as we seem to be missing the ruby port and the red wine. Oh, one hopes it will not discommode our most singular guests. Albert, dearest, what are you doing with your cutlery?
Sorry, old thing, it's just that I can never remember which fork to use.
We think for that we'd prefer you to use a handkerchief.
Oh, dear.
Do try to engage Herr Bismarck's attention. He's scarcely touching his pudding.
Thank God for that.
And it is Mrs. Beaton's speciality.
Oh. Righto, Herr Bismarck. How's your steamed sago, semolina and suet surprise in a tapioca treacle tart?
How interesting. It is, how you say, the stuff on which you build the empire?
Well, only when we can't get any concrete, yes. Tell me, what do you eat in Prussia to make you the people you are?
We dine off the noble cabbage, spiced sausage, meet copious draughts of lager. After a meal like that, no Prussian would ever turn his back on an enemy.
Well, I hope your enemies are suitably grateful, too.
Has everyone concluded their repast? Our Lord Tennyson is about to give a recitation.
Oh, this will be good.
Half a league, half a league, half a league onward into the valley of death. I pedalled my jolly old bicycle until I was quite out of breath. Still needs a bit of work, I'm afraid.
So, this is how you Britishers entertain yourselves. Very dull, trivial, and unimaginative, nein?
That's nothing. Wait till they invent Talk Radio UK, eh? Poor day, Bismarck. Well, how about a hand of cards?
Good idea. I will shuffle.
Ah, very pretty, yes.
Sorry, my friend. No cards. See? All the red ones have disappeared. I know. We will play the hide and seek. Count to 100, and then me you can find. Guten Tag, Dummkopf.
All the red cards missing, Albert. How very aggravating. And how unfortunate that Herr Bismarck's visit should have coincided with a positive rash of such annoying disappearances.
Yes, maybe not such a coincidence. I must follow him. Victoria, tell him to prepare the royal train for London.
Of course, my beloved.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, why are you not pursuing Bismarck immediately?
You heard him. I have to count to 100 first. 1, 2...
Volume 4. In which our hero partakes of a breathless dash to the metropolis, sustaining thrilling incident, and finally meets he whom he him who he... whom he him... the bloke he's standing in for.
Do stop making those train noises and come and sit down, Albert. You seem abstracted, dearest. Are you concerned at the prospect of travelling faster than 20 miles an hour?
You mean we've chosen the weekend without engineering works? It's just that it's a confounded long way from Balmoral to London and...
Yes, my Hercules.
I was wondering how far I could get on this platform ticket, you see. And then there's Bismarck.
Oh, taradiddle. Indeed, fie and taradiddle to Herr Bismarck. What about one?
You're threatening the Empire too?
We are your wife, Albert. Come, one sturdy Apollo, and do your husbandly duty.
What? On this train? You mean join the six-foot-high club?
Approach us, our rampant Odysseus. We are ready to lie back and think of England.
Oh, I wondered why you'd pinned that ordnance survey map to the ceiling. I say, the train's about to rush into a tunnel.
Gracious, we shall get awfully steamy and smutty.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of now. Listen, old girl. Dundee, Edinburgh, Berwick. This train's going bally fast.
Oh, our brave Troilus, can you not pull something?
She's at it again, you see. Where did I put those, let's see. Ah, here in my breeches pocket. If I just drop them...
In front of this roaring fire, my rampant bathos.
Now you know where her descendants got it from, don't you? I mean, drop some leaves from the deer hunt woman. Here we go. It's nice to know that even in 1860, trains can be stopped by leaves on the line, isn't it? And now, my dear, something you said at the start of the journey. I must go to Windsor at once.
Herr Bismarck is there.
No, but the Royal Lewis. This is a non-corridor train, and all the way from Scotland, I've been dying for a taradiddle. I really have. Windsor, here I come. Oh, at last. I don't believe it. Engaged.
My life, of course it is, Snorer.
Disraeli.
The same, yes. I told you Prince Albert had got himself locked in the Royal Loo. I've just brought his dinner. A slice of ham, a Dover sole, toast with no butter or marmalade.
Prince Albert finds butter and marmalade too indulgent.
No, he finds they get scraped up when I push it under the door. Here, shall I introduce you? Come along, people are waiting. It's just a traditional cry, of course. Everybody uses the moat since this happened.
Well, didn't know Windsor Castle had a moat.
It does now. Here. I think I heard a movement in there.
Well, shouldn't we wait till he's finished?
Your Highness, I brought someone to see you.
At last! Is it the plumber?
Oh, come on, it's only been 6 months. It's the gentleman who's your double. During your absence, Mr. Hall here has been investigating Bismarck.
This Prussian pointy head, ach, he is up to no good. I intended to go along with him to find his plot, but no luck. Even in here, I've been keeping my ear to the ground and my eyes open.
It's the only way you can get to read some of the graffiti, honestly. It seems Bismarck's been sabotaging and stealing, oddly enough, only things that are coloured red.
Red? Teufel!
Bless you.
Thank you. Schnell, you must hurry. This Empire is in great danger. Any moment he will be ready to, what is the word, sir? No time to explain. I will slip you his secret address. Here.
Thank you. Oh, you're Drury Lane already? Here, before we go, Highness, is there anything we can get you?
Well, yeah. To help pass the time, another one of those 5,000-piece Kama Sutra jigsaws. You wouldn't believe how many different ways those bits fit together, you know.
Volume 5, in which our story reaches a thrilling conclusion. Virtue triumphs. Decency is victorious. Our hero acquits himself in a manly way. And any chance of a surprise ending finally disappears.
Hey, where are we going, Disraeli?
We're there, the old Mogul Saloon, Drury Lane.
It's the Middlesex Music Hall. Seems like years have passed since I was last here.
I'm sure the audience feel the same. Cabby, wait here. Come on, Egbert, we'll start in the cellar under the stage. Here we go. Ooh, mind your head. Now then, on with the gaslight. Hey, what a marvellous invention. Cheap, efficient. The man who runs this is worth his weight in gold.
Yes, a pity we can't stop him fiddling the scales, isn't it, really? Look. Look at this place, eh? All the scenery and props. Trapeze, jugglers' clubs, even a ventriloquist doll. Horrible-looking thing, isn't it, eh?
Ooh,
let's
yes.
Try it. Hello, everybody. My name is Mr...
Otto von Bismarck.
Go.
And please be not to put your hands there. Thank you.
So, Disraeli, but you are too late to save your British Empire. For see, I have in my hand a gun.
Oh,
hands up.
Oh!
You will not ask you again, Your Highness. Put your hands up.
You fiend, you won't get away with this.
But I already have, my friend. Tonight I will ship out the last collection of red objects. There is nothing left in the country the red ink to make with. You will be finished as a world power. Great Britain will be off the map. White.
Well, why? Why would losing everything red...
Oh,
you mean...
Exactly. I see it all. Without red, we can't print any more maps showing the Empire. The guys in the Foreign Office won't be able to remember where all the colonies are.
Really?
Most of them have trouble remembering where the Foreign Office is.
People have to tell them the way to F.O.
Yes. Mm.
That hasn't changed then, has it?
Yeah, Egbert, can't you do something?
I could try to throw in my voice.
Go on, then.
All right, Giznock, cut down your gun. I've got the case surrounded. I mean, we've got the clothes surrounded.
You will have to do better than that, mine Prince Albert. I mean it, wait. Thus, Prince Albert is not the ventriloquist. I recognize you. You are the world-famous, unsuccessful, cheap English pig-dog music hall artist, Egbert Hall.
I must have a word with Sarches about my publicity, you know. It's...
Prince, you will die.
Oh, you've seen me at Glasgow Empire, have you? Perhaps some magic. A pass of the hand, and your pistol is transformed into...
Thank God. What is this?
Oh, very good, Egbert. You've changed it into a double-barrel shotgun.
Oh, sorry. I'll try again. The quickness of the hand deceives the eye, and...
A bunch of flowers. So, you win, but you will not take me. I go...
Not so fast, for behold, from under Disraeli's ringlets, I produce... Ow! A picture of the Kaiser.
Mein Herr!
Look, Egbert, he stood to attention.
And he's stuck fast to the ceiling by the spike on the top of his helmet.
Yes.
Of course, this looks better if you're listening in stereo, folks, I want you to know. Come on, Dizzy, let's tie him up and get the peelers.
And then you must see the Queen. Quick, we'll use the back door.
A shortcut to the police station?
No, I left the cab waiting outside the front door. We've already saved the Empire. Let's see if we can save the fare as well. Come on.
God, she's insatiable, isn't she? Look, I've already explained I'm not your husband. Oh, I see what you mean. I'm sorry.
Mr. Hall, we are not confused. By your skillful impersonation of our husband, you have saved our realm. One has therefore determined to reward you. We shall build you a large auditorium in Kensington. Its name...
The Egbert Hall. I can see it now.
No, its name must unfortunately conceal your part in this. We shall call it after our husband.
Oh. Why not establish an annual show by my theatrical colleagues?
A sort of royal variety performance.
Exactly. And then once a year, at the end of the evening, sitting in the royal box, your descendants will recall you and what you've done for them and say...
Ah, we know... Now we are rarely not amused.
Please approbate enthusiastically for Crowned Huds. Written by Mr. Michael Dines and starring Mr. Roy Hudd, Miss June Whitfield, Mr. Chris Emmett, and Mr. John Glover. The producer was Mr. Richard Wilson.